You are listening to the Brighton Book Club Footnotes, and today we're having a publication party for two fantastic local authors, Eleanor Wood and Kat Walker. Eleanor has written an excellent non-fiction book called Staunch, while Kat Walker has written a novel called The Scoop. In her book, Eleanor finds herself in her late 30s on a beach in India with three old ladies trying to find herself and discover her family history, like some sad middle-class crisis cliche, which are not my words, they are the publisher's words. But how did she get here? In Kat's novel, 30-something Casey Jones's life is a mess. In the wake of a bad breakup with her girlfriend, she packs in her job and goes on an adventure with her old school friend Danny in a converted ice cream van called Alice. Welcome to the studio, Kat and Eleanor. Can you introduce yourselves and tell me a bit about your books and how you came to write them?
Hello, I'm Eleanor. I'm the author of Staunch, and as Anna said, it's a memoir, which is a bit scary. It's all about how a few years ago I was having a bit of a hard time in life. I'd had a big breakup and lots of stuff going on, and I ended up going travelling in India with my grandmother and my great aunts. And we had an adventure and I learnt some lessons about life.
Amazing. Can you read us a little bit from the book?
Okay. This is just the opening bit. Well, cheers, girls, we made it. Here's to the goers. The four of us clink glasses. My cocktail tastes of pure alcohol and sugar. It's called a go-go goer, and it's made with Fenny, the local moonshine that I think comes from cashew nuts. We arrived in the early hours of the morning, and this is our first early afternoon cocktail. I'm on the beach on the first day of a girls' holiday. I'm wearing shorts and a bikini top while successfully managing to skip cold and grey January back home. The sea is there right in front of me, not only a cliched sparkling bright blue, but warm and inviting. I've already been straight in for a swim. The sand is warm under our feet and the sun on our faces is heavenly. We're jet-lagged and slightly frazzled after a long journey, but the excitement is palpable. There are dogs and cows wandering around the beach and ladies in saris trying to sell us things on every corner. We're in India. Specifically, we are in a beach shack strewn with fairy lights and residual Christmas decorations, sitting on picnic chairs. A sort of Indian-style mariachi duo wearing matching Hawaiian shirts and cowboy hats are playing in the beach shack that we're sitting outside. They're doing a jaunty cover of Dylan's Blowing in the Wind. However, that's not actually the most surreal thing about this girl's holiday. Rosie, do you think there's enough gin in this? My grandmother asks her older sister, my auntie Rose. It's so disappointing when you can't taste the gin properly. It's really not on. I think it's that local gin, Dot. It's just not the same. I'd ask for an extra measure if I were you. It's not very cold either. But we mustn't have ice. Don't forget, don't ever have ice in your drink here. I won't, I say. I take a gigantic slug of my go-go-goer. My auntie Anne and I exchange a glance. Anne is Nan and Rose's younger half-sister, so she's a youngster at 72. It's my first day of a girls' holiday where I am the youngest by an average of 46 years.
What a concept for a book. And it's all true.
Yes, which is a bit scary.
So, yours is a true account. Kat's is fictionalised and is fiction. Kat, could you tell us a bit about The Scoop?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Kat, author of The Scoop, also out today. And weirdly sort of similar story, as you've said. So how I came to write it was I was in my mid-30s, I was going nowhere in my job and also my relationships, so I decided to escape and go travelling and try and find myself. And during that journey I was blogging and people inevitably said, you should write a book. So I thought, oh, maybe I should write a book. And that's how it came about. But it is fiction, not a memoir, and that was a conscious decision for me because for some reason I felt that having a fiction book was a stronger way for me to get across ideas because I felt my voice wasn't strong enough. That was kind of it.
And could you read us some, please?
Yeah, sure. So this is from the prologue. It's called Brimful of Ashram. I've been sitting cross-legged on the floor of the Ritzen Ashram since 4 a.m. I'm numb from the cold and tiredness, let alone the fact that my legs haven't been forced into this position since primary school. Through the wall-to-wall window in front of me lies the highest valley on Earth, the Tibetan Plateau, the roof of the world. Inside, the room is filled with a reassuring low hum of chanting. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. The prayer drifts over me, through me. It seems to travel to the four corners of the earth and back, permeating everything, holding me in its warm embrace. I'm barely even aware of the cloaked figures around me. It really is as if we're all one. One room full of humanity acknowledging the power and beauty of nature, breathing and chanting in unison. I've never felt this kind of belonging before. Outside, the army of the sun is filling the plain like a flood and advances still, gaining speed as it draws closer. Like a precious gold cloth, the sunlight climbs onto my lap and envelops my body in the richest of cloaks. As it rises to my face, I can feel myself holding my breath, as if I might drown in the warm golden tide. Suddenly, the whole world is burnished gold, and I have to close my eyes against the dazzling light. Its purity and radiance overwhelm me, and nothing else matters. I'm completely and utterly at one with the light in sublime serenity. I'm in the flow of the universe. I'm living inside this moment. This is finally it, enlightenment. I open my eyes to let the sunlight in and can't help sneaking a quick look around the room, smugly wondering whether anyone else has felt it too or whether I'm the only one. I might be the only one. Perhaps I really could be the chosen one, like I always hoped. It takes me just a few glorious seconds of indulgent self-righteousness to realise that I've already blown it. I had it, and I've lost it again. Somewhere between the sun rising over Namcha Barwa and the moment it hit my eyes, I'd achieved nirvana. But in the very moment of recognition, in that instant of being at one with the universe, I've bloody blown it. I've started overthinking again, about myself, as usual.
So, both of your books deal with similar themes of getting to a point in your life where you need to leave something and need to escape. What did you both think of each other's books, having written yours and then read each other's?
Well, I was really, really struck by the similarities. I really enjoyed yours so much. But I also just really couldn't believe, like, my publisher's been calling mine Eat, Pray, Love for Millennials. And I felt like they could both just be Eat, Pray, Love for Misfits, really, yes. In a nice way.
In the nicest possible way. Yeah, I loved yours, and I'm coining the phrase staunch supporter because that's what I am, and I couldn't believe the similarities, and it started me thinking, you know, is that something that everyone goes through, or is it just you and me?
I think many creative people seem to have crises of some description. We're talking about staunch. Ella, could you just explain staunch as a concept?
Well, staunch as a word is one of my favourites. It comes from the film Grey Gardens, which, if you haven't seen it, you must. It's incredible. And it's about sort of inspiring old ladies, which is also what my book is about a lot. And so becoming staunch is this sort of concept of becoming a really strong human being who knows who you are and has got things a bit more figured out. I wanted to become staunch.
Have you reached staunch nirvana?
Yeah, I think so. I feel staunch.
Kat, do you feel staunch?
I do now, having read Staunch, and I've kind of taken that on board in my journey. So yes, yeah, I'm feeling staunch.
What is the best advice that you'd both give to people writing or looking to get published?
For me, I'd say just keep writing and carrying on. I know it's such a cliche, but I've had a very sort of convoluted
way. Could you tell us a bit about that, actually?
Yeah, so I've written a lot of books that haven't been published, and it was interesting because we were all saying that both of our books are sort of coming of age novels that aren't about teenagers, they're about people who are older than that. And I actually started off, I love coming of age books and really wanted to write one, all that sort of like I Capture the Castle kind of stuff. And so I sort of wrote this coming of age novel years and years and years ago and sent it out to everyone in the world, got loads of rejections. Then I ended up getting my agent then. That was a long time ago. And all the publishers that she sent it to said, this is great, but we don't really know where it sits, what to do with it. Has she tried writing a YA novel? And the idea of that really appealed to me. I love YA books and read a lot of them. And so then I wrote a couple of YA novels. And then it sort of started off, the first one was an e-book that I did. And then I did a couple that then got sort of a print copy, which was really exciting. And then I did two of those. And now sort of had a go at non-fiction, quite like the idea of doing something different. But I think it's always that just carrying on? Because I think at every stage, you know, it was quite hard. It didn't sort of magically happen. Mm.
Yeah, Kat, what would your advice be?
Oh, definitely never give up. I wrote this novel 14 years ago.
Wow.
And had been sending it out to publishers ever since. It was on my, you know, New Year's resolutions every single year, get the book published. And then when I was coming up to a significant birthday, it was right, this is the last chance. I felt I sent it out to two last publishers. The first one said no, which I was quite used to, and the second one, Red Door Press, the wonderful Red Door Press, said yes, and I was shocked. And then I was absolutely over the moon. So my advice would definitely be never, ever give up on your dream.
That's lovely advice. Kat, why should we read Eleanor's book?
Oh, because it is a fantastic kind of reaffirmation that we're all a bit muddled. we all go through things in our lives that we struggle with. We struggle to understand. We struggle to find meaning. I think that really deep down is something that everyone struggles with on some level. So it was really nice to read a memoir of someone who's going through that process and, you know, gets to the other side by the end of the book. I don't want to spoil it here. But, you know, you come out the other side feeling staunch. That's
feeling staunch.
Which was your aim.
Eleanor, why should we read Kat's book?
Well, similarly, I found it so reassuring that I think this is the sort of thing that a lot of people go through. And when I was writing my book, I had that whole thing of, like, write the book that you need, because a lot of books about people having a hard time just made me feel worse, because I thought, oh, okay, you're having a hard time, but you're 10 years younger than me and you're a national newspaper columnist. Like, this is making my life feel dreadful. Thanks a lot. And then I really felt like, you know, I really related to it. It's, you know, really lovely to have all these, like, yeah, incredible characters going on this journey. And also, it's really funny, and I learned a lot about geography and history, and it's fantastic.
Eleanor, how can we find out about Staunch? How can we follow you, and how can we order the book?
The book is available in all the usual places, I think.
Encouraging to buy from shops that pay their taxes.
Exactly. I'm a big fan of Hive.
Hive, yes. Hive is great.
Yeah. If you want to do the online thing, ordering on Hive is always a really good idea. I'm having a little launch in the Feminist Bookshop, which will
amazing.
Be a great place to buy it.
What date is that?
That's on the 19th of March.
On the 19th of yeah. March. Great.
So, come along. It's
everyone welcome?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah,
it's just
a turn up. You don't know how many people are going to turn up. I hope you have lots of bubbles.
That's the plan.
Kat, how can we find out about you and The Scoop?
So I'm on social media. I'm on Twitter at Kat Walker Author, or you can go to my website, which is katwalkerauthor.com, or you can find me on Facebook, which is The Scoop by Kat Walker, or you can Google The Scoop by Kat Walker, which brings up lots of pooper scoopers, and also my book.
We're going to have to get sponsorship from them.
Definitely.
Thank you, both of you, for coming to join me today, and really, really good luck with both of your books, which are fantastic.
Thank you very much.
So the teams at HarperCollins and Red Door Press have given me 5 copies of each of Eleanor and Kat's books. So I'm going to be giving away 5 bundles over on Instagram at BTN Book Club. So make sure you're following me and Eleanor and Kat. All the links will be in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and good luck to Kat and Eleanor with their books.